always an honor and a privilege to get to be able to proclaim God's word to you all this morning. But one of the things I will state at the outset is that this particular psalm was difficult. Not because the content was hard, not because it was difficult to understand the message that was being communicated, but because this psalm is about thanksgiving and praise. And in our world, it seems as if we receive news and information constantly that is negative, that is bad, that hinders us from seeing the things that we ought to be thankful for. So a couple of weeks ago, I received word that another one of our classmates that we graduated with from high school had died. 2 weeks before that, a gentleman that I played basketball with died. These are two guys that did not make it to 35. These are two guys that were not believers. Further, I'm a subscriber to Voice of the Martyrs. It is my way of knowing what is going on in the world with brothers and sisters who are across the waters. And so recently I read a story about Mariatu Sisse in Sierra Leone, who at the age of 16 heard the gospel, believed the gospel, and then was disowned by her parents. So imagine being 16 and you're disowned. You have no resources and no family to help you. Or the story of brothers Selvin and Caleb, who did ministry with their father in Sri Lanka, who were almost beaten to death. Selvin was left with two broken arms and two broken legs and left on the side of the road to die. But the Lord was merciful and gracious to him. He allowed him to recover. And one day, one of his attackers was walking by his house because his attacker was his neighbor. And Selvin, prompted by the Lord, invited his attacker into his home to share a meal in hopes that he would have the opportunity to share the gospel with him and he would be saved. That's a pretty astounding demonstration of Christian love. Some of us in the U.S. struggle having cordial conversations with people who have different political opinions. Yet Selvin looks upon his attacker and says, "Come into my home." Or another story of Andre and Miriam Ifasa. Andre was doing ministry in northern Benin, which is 98% Muslim. And while Andre was away, attackers came and attacked his wife instead. They beat her and forced her to swallow acid. And across the next 40 days, the acid destroyed her inner organs until she finally died. And then there's just general news that happens in our own country. Things that are perplexing and confusing and just causes one to wonder, how did we even get here? And so this psalm was particularly difficult because amidst all of the negative information that we receive, this psalm summons us to give thanks unto the Lord, to shout for joy unto God. And so the challenge for me in preparing for this particular sermon, the blessing that I received from Psalm 66 was that in spite of all the negative information that I had received, despite all the disastrous things that occur across the world, there is reason to shout for joy. There is reason to be glad in the Lord. And so if you have your Bibles with you this morning or the app, please turn with me to Psalm 66, and we will look at the entire chapter. Beginning in verse 1, shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing glory to his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds, so great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name, Selah. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in him who rules by his might forever. Whose eyes keep watch over the nations, let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. Bless our God, O peoples, let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you. That which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble, I will offer to you burnt offerings of fattened animals. With the smoke of the sacrifice of rams, I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Selah. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray for our time together this morning. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, you have given us much reason to shout for joy, to rejoice always in the life that you have given to us. Lord, this morning, be with us. Lift our mind's attention and our heart's affection to you. Open our eyes to see and to recognize your many and plentiful mercies that you bestow upon us each and every day, each and every week, each and every month, each and every year. Lord, we give thanks to you that you have given us your word, that we may know of your splendor and declare your praises to all we encounter. Lord, we love you. We give thanks to you for what you've done for us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Be with us this morning. We pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. So this particular psalm, though it's kind of smashed in between Davidic psalms, we actually do not know the author of this psalm, nor do we know the specific historical context in which this psalm was written. But many scholars agree that this was likely a song that was written after the defeat of the Assyrian army in 2 Kings 19. And so the Assyrians come and attack Judah while Hezekiah is king. The Assyrians are far too powerful for Judah to handle by themselves. But in the midst of their attack, the king of Assyria was prideful. And he boasted before the Lord, questioning, "Where is your God? Where is the God that you worship while I'm at your gates?" Thus Hezekiah went to the Lord and prayed to him. And in one night, the angel of the Lord came, descended upon the army of Assyria, and killed 185,000 army men in the Assyrian army. Thus the king had to retreat. He had to withdraw from his campaign in his attack against Judah. And so with this backdrop, the psalmist summons us to consider three things in this song. First, praise the Lord for his work in all creation. Two, praise the Lord for his work among his covenant people. And three, praise the Lord for his work in your individual and your personal lives. Verses 1 through 7, shout joy to God, all the earth. Sing glory to his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds, so great is your power, that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sing praises to you. They sing praises to your name, Selah. And so the opening summons of this psalm is for all the inhabitants of the earth, everyone who is able, to sing praises to the true and living God for what he has done. And it is only this God who is worthy of such adoration. And what a blessing it is to us that we have been born in this particular time and in this particular place where we have a Bible that has been preserved for us that we may know who this true and living God is. John 4:24 tells us that God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Job 11:7 tells us that God is infinite. Can you find out the deep things of God? Can you find out the limit of the Almighty? Psalm 90 verse 2 tells us that God is eternal. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth or the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. James chapter 1 verse 17 tells us that God is unchangeable. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Exodus 3:14 tells us that God is. God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say to this people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Psalm 147:5 tells us that God is all wise. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. Revelation 4:8 tells us that God is all powerful. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings and full of eyes all around and within, day and night, never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Revelation 15:4 tells us that God is holy. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name, for you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. And Exodus 34, 6 and 7 tell us that God is just, good, and true. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. But who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation? Dear friends, have we truly considered, in the midst of our busy lives and the things that we must do in our lives, do we take time to slow down, to stop, and consider how awesome and great is our God? And more than that, that this awesome and great God is for us. He is for us. One of the things we see across the Old Testament, whereas various nations worshiped idols, they called upon different things to help them, to give them fertility, to grow their crops, to give them livestock, to give them wealth. It is the true and living God who supplies all of this to all nations. It is this God who gives life to you. It is this God that preserves the earth. It is this God who has sent his son to die in your place that you may be made righteous before him and be in a relationship with him. It is this great and glorious God who is for you. How much of our depression and our anxieties in this life would be cured if instead of looking to the right and to the left, wailing and crying to people who cannot help us, instead if we just turned to the Lord, the one who alone is able to deliver you, the one who alone who is able to rescue you from your trials and your tribulations. How much joy are we missing out on as the people of God because we don't stop to consider the greatness of our God? Dear friends, the summons this morning is to consider the greatness, the majesty, the perfection, the beauty of our God, and to shout for joy because he is on your side. So the psalmist opens up this section with a summons to shout to the God who is the joy and the rock of your salvation. And then verse 5 considers us, or calls us to consider what God has done in the lives of man. There are two events in particular that the psalmist draws on here. He calls out the passing of the Red Sea, where the Israelites escape Egypt, passing through on dry ground, and also the crossing of the Jordan River in Joshua 3, where two, the Israelites pass with the Ark of the Covenant on dry ground. But while these two events are called out specifically, the broader principle is for us to consider all of the work that God has done among the covenant people. Have we considered the miracle that is Abraham and Sarah, that they conceived and bore the promised son at an old age? Have we considered the wonderful work of God in destroying Sodom and Gomorrah, a wicked city that opposed the Lord? Have we truly sat down and thought about the wonder of the 9 plagues that were performed by the Lord in the land of Egypt? Have we thought about how majestic it is that the Israelites passed through the Red Sea on dry ground? Or the ground opening up to swallow Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, who had rebelled against the Lord in Numbers 16, or the rebuke of a talking donkey in Numbers 22, or the collapse of the wall of Jericho in Joshua 6, or Gideon defeating the Midianites with 300 men, or the Lord consuming the evil prophets of Baal at the prayer of Elijah. And these are just to name a few of the wonderful works of God. Yet each of them is preserved in this book. And in this land, we have so many different translations of this book, we don't even know what to do. But have you considered what the Lord has done among men? Consider this also. Israel's history is our history. As Christian people who have been brought into the household of God by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the history that is archived for us in the Old Testament is our history. The same God who performed these wonderful works is the same God who has rescued you from your sin. It is the same God who exists now and who is on your side. These stories are your stories. These stories are for you to draw encouragement and strength from when the torrent is against your life, when trials are coming in your life. The same God who performed all of these miraculous things is the same God that you have access to because of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Have you considered that reality? The summons this morning is to come and consider the wonderful works of God and shout for joy. The next section, we are to praise God for what he has done for the covenant people. Verses 8 through 12, bless our God, O peoples, let the sound of his praise be heard. Who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip? For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through water. Yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. So once again, the psalmist summons us to praise God for what he has done. Now, again, we don't know specifically what circumstances the psalmist is making reference to, but we know that it's bad. We know that it is so severe that if the Lord had not helped, if the Lord had not intervened, his covenant people would have perished. But we know that because God is faithful, because he remembers his covenant promise, he did not allow his people to perish. He did not allow their souls to depart from the land of the living. So again, this summons us to consider how we understand our relationship with God presently. We've already talked about our brothers and sisters across the waters who are facing trials and persecutions of various kinds. But even when we hear these stories, when I read these stories, when I read this psalm, one thing stuck out in my mind. That across all of human history, God has never forsaken his people. Have we considered that God made a promise going all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent? And throughout all of human history, God has always preserved a people for himself to declare his praise among the nations. That when we're reading throughout the Old Testament, when we're reading throughout the New Testament, when we're reading throughout church history, when we're hearing news in the world today, when things seem to be going awry, the plan is not going according to plan. Things look like they're bleak. Things look like they can fail. God has promised that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. And we can rest throughout all of human history that all of God's plans, all of his decrees, everything that he has determined would happen has happened. It is the greatest story ever written. Right? Some of the thrill of reading stories, watching movies, is we don't know how it's going to end. Is the good guy going to be victorious? Are the Avengers going to beat Thanos? How's it going to pan out in Doomsday in December? Right? The thrill is we don't know how the story ends. But the glory and the beauty of this particular story, the story that you as a Christian person are a part of, is that we know the ending. We know how this story ends. Christ has already won. We're just waiting for its fulfillment. We are already victorious because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not quite as thrilling as an Avengers movie, but it should lead us to shout for joy because we know how this story ends. How much courage should we draw because we know the ending of the story? That whatever relatives we lose who are in the faith, we'll see them again. Whatever sacrifices we think we make this side of heaven following Jesus Christ, it will be repaid. Whatever sorrows and sufferings we experience in this life, every tear will be wiped away. We know how this story ends. God has promised it, he's accomplished it. And all we have to do now is shout for joy. In the concluding section, we're summoned to praise God for his work in our individual and our personal lives. So in verse 13, I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you, that which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fattened animals. With the smoke of the sacrifice of rams, I'll make an offering of bulls and goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. And so in this concluding section, we're called to shout for joy and praise the Lord for what he has done in our personal lives. And so that is a question that I put before you. In the midst of the busyness of your life, children's sports, school, work, soccer if you like the World Series, Football is coming up. Basketball will soon be after. Have you considered the many mercies that the Lord has bestowed upon you in your life? Do you have your health? You should give thanks to God for that. Do you have your mental faculties? Give thanks to God for that. Do you have a roof over your head? Give thanks to God for that. Do you have food on the table? Give thanks to God for that. Do you have family and friends who love you? Give thanks to God for that. But if you're in here this morning and you're poor and you're destitute and you don't even have a rat to call your own, do you know the Lord? If you know the Lord, you are blessed more than anyone who enjoys all the spoils of this life. A person who knows the Lord has more blessing than Elon Musk, a 25-year-old streamer who has three houses in Hollywood, the biggest box office actor that you can think of. If you know the Lord, you are blessed infinitely beyond measure. Give thanks to God for that. And lastly, the psalmist tells us to consider the truth and the reality that if we look upon our sin in our hearts with satisfaction, if we cherish it, the Lord will not hear our prayers. But those who are repentant, the Lord hears your prayers. But more than him hearing, he answers your prayers. Again, we have a laundry list of stories in this book about the people of God praying and the Lord answering. Sometimes in miraculous ways, sometimes in mundane ways, sometimes just by giving us enough strength to wake up and keep going one more day. But because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have access to the throne of grace, and you can be confident that your prayers are heard. And you should take confidence that the Lord hears and will answer your prayers. And so this morning, as we go out into the rest of the week, let us shout for joy to the God of our salvation. Let us meditate upon who the true and living God is and give thanks to him for that. One of the brutal things about idols is that they're a lot like us. And if you're honest with yourself, you're not a great person. And if God was like you, the world would be much worse. But because God is not like us, we can rejoice. But further, God has given us the gospel. We talked about different Christians at the very beginning in different parts of the world. Their story is not finished, and their story is continuing. And in each particular situation, the people are rejoicing because the gospel seed is bearing fruit in their countries. Amongst the death and the sorrow, people are being saved. The Lord is saving people from every tribe, from every nation, and every tongue. Rejoice in who God is and rejoice in what God has done for you. We know the end of the story. Let us shout for joy this week and every week after. Let us pray. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, we do give thanks to you for who you are, that you've preserved this book, that we may know your character, that we may know the wonderful works that you have performed in the lives of men, that from them we may draw strength and encouragement, knowing that you are the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. Lord, as we go into this week by your Holy Spirit, grant us sweet moments of reflection and meditation upon who you are and what you've done for us. Grant us courage, because we know how this story ends. We know that at the end of our life, it is not the end of our journey, but we are awaiting our sweet communion and consummation of the return of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you. We give thanks to you for who you are and what you've done. May our shouts for joy this morning be a sweet aroma to you through the Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. I did forget. Thank you. If you have children in the back, please go and get them. And for those of you who are remaining, please prepare your hearts and your minds for the Lord's Supper.